James, it says, receive one who's weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. NIV, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. New American Standard, now accept the one who is weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Amplified, as for the man who is a weak believer, welcome him into your fellowship, but not to criticize his opinions or to pass judgment on discussions. Okay? And then finally, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. All right? Now, the whole chapter of Romans 14 is going to follow the continuity of this thought from beginning to end. This is not, we're not just taking a scripture and lifting it up, but this is our starting point, okay? Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul is dealing with church issues. He's dealing with strife and fighting that's going on in the church amongst believers. I mean, real believers in the church. And they're fighting over issues that we're going to find out later in this chapter what they are, all right? But they are things that back in their day were hot button items. And if people didn't see it your way, you'd doubt whether they were even a believer or not. Okay? Romans chapter 14, I'll just kind of say this, it really deals with what we call an area of convictions. As a pastor of Door of Life Christian Church, there are certain things that I know in my spirit God has desired for this church to have in the spiritual air that we breathe as we come here each Sunday, as we come to fellowship and gather together. I have endeavored in my heart to preach strong the love of God, you know, our authority as a believer is who we are in Christ, the power and the authority and the integrity of the Word of God. And I know also, you know, in faith, how to walk by faith, live by faith. These are definitely important messages that I know that God has called me to preach here in Door County. And this is another one, another area, another message I feel strongly that the Lord has dealt with me to really preach and minister in this area in Door County as well. And that's in the area of what we would call convictions. Okay? And I was doing a little checking. You know, there's messages that you preach periodically because, you know, your church changes, it grows, you get new faces, different things like that. And it's been 3 years since I've preached this message. And I've realized, you know, we need to come back and we need to revisit some things. And this is a powerful one. Convictions. And as we'll see, the Apostle Paul is going to go through Romans chapter 14, and he is going to be dealing with believers, real believers, over differences real believers have and how they are supposed to work together within those differences. You know, a subtitle of this message, convictions, you could call it your theological love walk. All right? You're not going to necessarily see everything precisely eye to eye just because another person is genuinely a born-again Christian. There may be some variances. There may be some differences that you have with them, okay? So if we talk about convictions this morning, I'm just going to start out by just defining a few terms, what I mean. When I say a conviction, this is what we're referring to. A conviction is how I apply a general principle of the Word of God to a specific area in my life. All right? I can take a principle that's in the Word of God and apply it very specifically. We'll delve into it a little bit more. A conviction versus a command. All right? The Scripture doesn't just have good principles. The Scripture also has commands. A command is a specific instruction in the Word of God that applies the same way in every situation. What do I mean by that? Well, there are very specific commands in the Word of God as it relates to salvation. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In fact, when he was in Gethsemane, he verified that just before he went to the cross. He said, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. He prayed that 3 times, but the cup did not pass from him because there was no other way. It was not an egotistical, arrogant statement of exclusivity. There was only one way to deal with man's sin before a holy, just God, and that was that blood had to be shed. There are some absolutes as it relates to our salvation. There are specific commands to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, every one of you. These are commands. There is no wiggle room on these things. Jesus Christ is Lord. There are not multiple gods. There are not multiple paths. There is only one way through Jesus Christ, because Jesus clearly told us that there was one way. There are moral commands also that apply in every situation. What are commands? We're kind of starting a little bit backwards. We're starting with commands. A command is an instruction in the word that applies. You know, it's not like, you know, okay, well, you think Jesus is the way, I don't think Jesus is the way, but we're still both Christians. Wrong. No. To be a Christian, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to believe on him. You've got to call upon his name. That is an essential. It's not compassionate, loving, accepting to say that I don't believe in Jesus, but I'm still a Christian. No, it's just not true. Okay? We kind of have different politics of compassion in our world that if you get caught up in them, you'll get away from the word. You've got to stay with the word. Stay with the word. Don't get emotionally manipulated away from the word. Stay with the word. Even if you lose some spirituality contests, stay with the word. Even if you lose some compassion contests, stay with the word. This is what will endure forever. The politics of our day will change 10 years from now. This will endure forever. You got to stay with the word. And there are specific commands in the word of God as it relates to salvation. Morals. There are definite commands. You can see there, bullet pointed in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, murder, drunkenness, stealing, gossip, hatred, outbursts of wrath. All that is still, those are commands that, you know, those are still works of the flesh. We don't do those things. You know, obviously we have flesh, we yield, and we can fall in those areas, but these are areas that we don't wonder about. I don't have to wonder, is it okay for me to commit adultery today? Maybe or maybe not. I've got to get a leading of the Spirit. No, I don't have to get a leading of the Spirit. I don't have to pray about it. I just know that that's wrong. There are certain commands in the Word of God that are clearly dictating right and wrong. Absolutely. However, not everything is spelled out in black and white. It doesn't mean that God isn't a black and white God, that he isn't, there's truth and error, but there is an area, and this is what Romans chapter 14 covers. It's an area of convictions. All right? What does that mean? Morals are absolute, okay? But how I apply certain general principles of the Scripture to my life may vary. It'll vary in my own life from year to year, much less amongst all of us. Your convictions will change through your life. There is room to grow, and there is room in your own relationship with God as you begin to apply some of these different areas of scriptural principles to your own life. So we talked about commands a little bit. Now, what do we mean more specifically by a conviction based on a general principle of the Word of God? Okay, here's an example of a conviction. Word of God clearly says, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And there are people that say, yes, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and that's why we don't have TVs in our house, and it's why you shouldn't have a TV in your house either. Now, is there a principle that's true there? Does the TV have ungodly counsel? Yeah, in the internet and a lot of other things too. Right? There's ungodly counsel. Now, a person can have that conviction. And God may deal with them because that TV may be an area of weakness in their life. And God is saying, cut off that TV. Remember what Jesus said? He says, if something causes you to offend, pluck out your eye, cut off your hand. He says, whatever causes to offend, cut it off. He was speaking allegorically. Things in your life that cause to offend, that you know what your weaknesses and those weak areas are that seduce you back into sin, to cut them off. And for a person, the Spirit of God may be dealing with them, you got to cut off that TV. It's a problem. And so a conviction for a person, a general principle of the Word of God to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, to specifically apply it in their life, is, hey, I'm gonna cut off the TV for a season. And that's a good thing, and it's right, and it's a God, and it's probably a spiritual healthy thing for them to do it. All right? It's a conviction, though. It's not a commandment that everybody else has to do, too. Convictions and commands. There are clearly commands, black and white areas in the Word of God as it relates to your salvation, as it relates to morals. Thank you, Lord. You've clearly drawn some lines to help us know what those areas are. All right? And I thank God for it. The world does not define morality. The Word defines morality. The world does not have authority to define morality. Do you understand morality is not determined and defined ultimately by votes? Let God be true and every man a liar. Morality is defined by the Word of God. See, there's one thing that has authority. You know, the scriptures, the Bible says of itself, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for training up and instruction in righteousness, as the man, woman of God can be fully equipped for every good work. The Bible has authority to do that. And so we do have something that can help and settle moral disputes. It's the authority of the Word of God. So that's why it's very important that we understand that, thank God for commandments. Thank God that the Bible has spelled out those things. Why is that important? Because even if the world redefines something as okay, you're still going to of the flesh reap corruption when you sow to the flesh. The flesh is still the flesh, no matter what legislation gets passed. And if you sow to the flesh, you will still have the flesh reap corruption, no matter what legislation gets passed. So instead of being ignorance is bliss, and because something's legal, it doesn't mean that it's morally right. That's why it's important that we go with the Word of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every vote that's passed in Congress, every legislation, but by every word that proceeds out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? And so ultimately, this has got to be our true north, our compass morally, as it relates to the decisions that we make. Are you going to catch, will those who live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution? Yeah, that's part of the deal. Jesus promised that we would, but take courage because he's overcome the world. So there is going to be an element of that. Thank God for the commands. They help us to understand that. But what we're going on is we're going beyond commands and we're going into an area, again, like what we're calling convictions. And this has to do with how I am going to specifically apply an area of the Word of God in my life. And that is going to, let me just say this again, how I take that principle of the Word of God and apply it to my life is going to differ. It's going to differ from person to person. All right? This is not relative morality. This is just the fact that, for one thing, we differ in our knowledge of the Scripture. So to apply scriptural principles to an area of my life, it's going to be based on the Scripture I know. And that will be very different amongst people. Again, it'll be different for you in your own spiritual walk. From when you first got saved to where you are now to where you're going to be. And because your knowledge base of Scripture changes, your convictions are going to change along the way. And that's a good thing. That's all right. This is what the Apostle Paul, again, he's going to get to. We're going to get delve into this Romans chapter 14. But it's your theological love walk. There's going to be some areas of conviction. There are going to be some ways you apply the Scripture, the principles of the Scripture to your life specifically, that's going to vary from your brother and sister in Christ. But it's very important that we learn how to walk in love in these areas. And again, this is what makes a church home a safe place, to where you can work out your own salvation with fear and trembling without having to feel like you got to live under the hoops of everybody else's conviction. You know, we can go to the Word of God together, grow up spiritually, walk in love, and grow and flow and learn Him and His ways. We're all Christians. We're genuinely born again, but we're all at the different places spiritually. You know, I got kids. My goodness, I got some spread in my kids' age. I got a 20-year-old and a 3-year-old. And you know, spiritually speaking, there's a difference between a 20-year-old and a 3-year-old too, in terms of spiritual accountability and what God requires of people as they've been walking with the Lord. And for a 20-year-old, to expect that 3-year-old to walk in all the knowledge and understanding, it's just wrong. You know, Kenneth Hagin in our Bible school would say, you can't put an adult head on a baby. You got to grow up in the natural. You got to grow up spiritually. And the demands and the convictions of a 3-year-old will be different than the demands and the convictions of a 20-year-old. You're at different places. They're going to differ. It's not that we're compromising morality. It's not that like morality is relative and everything goes wrong, wrong, wrong. But convictions are relative, and they will change. And they will change from person to person, and they will change in your own life. It's not that you're being a hypocrite. When your convictions change, it's just that you're going to grow, and you're going to have to take on some different things as the Spirit of God leads you in your own life. So, very important to realize that. I think probably one of the greatest examples of convictions changing is just in my own life. I've experienced what, you know, Jesus said, those who bear fruit, God is going to prune so that they can bear more fruit.
Have you ever experienced that in your life? You're growing your blessing, all of a sudden God begins to deal with you in another area. Why does he want to prune you? So that you can bear more fruit. Well, in that pruning process, your convictions might change. Again, you might do some different disciplines just to bear more fruit. Now, that pruning process doesn't make you any more righteous before God. You'll never be more righteous, but that pruning process will make you more fruitful, that you may bear more fruit. Not to confuse fruit and righteousness, two separate, distinct things. Righteous is just what you got when you got born again. But your sanctification, your living right, can't make you intrinsically any more righteous than you got when you were born again. But living right, walking in the Spirit, doing the things that God's wants you to do, absolutely does have an impact on your ability to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. That's a huge impact. And anybody who's honest and lived with God for a while, you know that. You know it. There is something about when you're walking with God and you're walking in the power and the Spirit of God, not by your own strength, but there's fruit that's being born. Man, you know it's not you. It's not your strength. But you also know that you're not distracted. You know, when you're not distracted by your flesh and you can be more Spirit-focused, it's amazing just how the Spirit of God can work in you. So, we want to look at right now conviction examples. Kind of gave you one, but I want to bring it down a little closer to home here, and we're going to kind of, again, just kind of walk through Romans chapter 14, and I think this will kind of help us to understand what the heart of the Apostle Paul in the issues he was dealing with in his day. All right, this was their big deal back then. Romans 14, 2, it says, so Paul's going on, we started out with, you know, welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something that you don't agree with, even when it seems they're strong in opinions, weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. So he's going to go on now. We're just going to keep kind of plodding through. And I'm actually, for this segment, I'm using the Message Bible for the main scriptures. Now, the Message Bible is not a translation. It is a paraphrase. And you've got to be careful when you use paraphrase, because paraphrase does give liberty to the person who's paraphrasing to inject their own opinions and thoughts and ideas behind it as well, too. However, this paraphrase, when you study it out, and you study it out to the King James, New King James, and delve into the words, the spirit of this chapter in the Message Bible really hits the heart of where Paul is going. So, disclaimer, I understand that, but this is good. This is an example of a really good paraphrase. Romans 14:2. For instance, a person who has been around for a while might well be convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background might assume that all Christians should be vegetarians and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell into criticizing what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. Or, say one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy, and another thinks that each day is pretty much like any other day. Where there are good reasons either way, so each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. This is good. This is Bible. You see, one of the reasons why I know there is a God in heaven, not only the witness of my spirit that I have from being born again, and the amazing witness of creation, and the experiences that I've had of his peace and grace in my life, but the fact that Romans 14 is in the Bible. If man is creating his own religion and fabricating God so he can control men's lives, he would have never put Romans 14 in the Bible. Men do not think like this. It takes God to get to the middle of the road and strike that balance and bring love into theology. This takes the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to write a chapter like this. Man didn't sit down and think this up to control other men's lives. If he did, he's undermining himself. Because what you're seeing here is amazing grace. Not that only saved us, but amazing grace to walk with our fellow believers in some areas. These are examples of convictions. Now, their big topic back then, you know, their big deal, we can see from just looking at it in Romans chapter 14, 2, a person who's been around for a while might be welcome as he can eat anything on the table. And it was meat, vegetables, different things like that. The big deal that they had was meat offered to idols, okay? When's the last time you really got worked up over meat offered to idols? Well, if you'd have been a Christian 2,000 years ago, that would have been a hot button of the day. Now, when you think about meat offered to idols, you know, you think, what's the big deal about that? Don't people realize? Don't they understand? What you've got to understand is the practice back there is they had all kinds of, you know, Paul's reaching these Gentile nations. These are nations where they are practicing lewd temple worship that involve a lot of flesh, a lot of corruption, that involve food, that involve obviously immorality of all different kinds. And so you got people who are participating in this. They grow up in it. And it's their life. And all of a sudden, some preacher comes to town and preaches Jesus, and they get saved. And apparently in the culture of their day, that meat that they would use in their temple worship, apparently it was good enough, preserved well enough, to where they were able to turn around and sell it in the marketplace and make money off of it. I don't know whether it was just the extra meat or whatever. However it was their practice that they could turn around and sell the meat that was involved with temple worship in the marketplace. Now, Paul is saying, look, you know, Paul knows, I'm saved by grace through faith. That meat has nothing to do with my righteousness in Christ. But if you're a person who just got saved and last week, you might have saw that same piece of meat that you saw last year or yesterday or whatever it was, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with that. No. Why would a person? Because they so identify that meat with their old life. It so identifies it. For them, it's just like, oh, I can't. That's got to be far away from me. I don't want anything to do with that. So they have a conviction in their heart. No, I can't. For me, that could be a stumbling point back into the past. You know? But the big hot button of the day back then, the big theological fight was over, do you eat the meat? Do you not eat the meat? Is there liberty? Do you have freedom to eat that meat? Or are you a weaker brother who can't eat that meat? And to kind of play on each other and intimidate each other and different things like that. Now, these are both saved people who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe on him. But they have differing convictions over the area of meats. Let's take a look at some modern day examples that we deal with in these different areas of convictions. I'll just go ahead and read through the list here. You've probably, if you've been around, seen some of these before. Attending movies, working for pay on Sundays. I'd be in big trouble if that was a deal. All right. Cooking with wine. Attending theater with live drama, participation in sports, eating food in the church building, R-rated movies, drinking alcohol, mixed swimming, two-piece swimsuits, public, private, or homeschool, playing pool or cards, wearing pantsuits to church, wearing beards, hair over the ears, buying insurance, translation other than the King James, playing guitars or saxophones in the church, wearing makeup or going to a psychiatrist. All right? Now, these are things that there have been small battles fought over in our day. Okay? And you know what? As I look at that list, I can look at things in that list that I have convictions about. You know what I mean? There are things that I, you know, would shy away from, and there are other things I could care less. The fact of the matter is, though, I couldn't make a scriptural case against any of those things and make it doctrine for everybody else. These are specific application regarding principles that are in the Word of God. And I dare say, if you had a T-chart for everybody here, things that you would stay away from, things that you would have a problem with, everybody's chart would be a little different. And your chart might change through the years again as you're walking with the Lord and growing up spiritually and different things like that. What is, you know, Romans 14, this is about convictions. This is about your theological love walk. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see everything the way you see. And let me just kind of say, you know, what our tendency is. What my tendency, you know, just what the natural human tendency is. You can look at something at that list and you can think, wow, somebody has a problem with that. You know, they are such a legalist. And then you might look at something at that list and you think, you know, I would steer away from that too. And that person would look at you and say, wow, you are such a compromise. You know, you're a compromiser. You would do that? Well, And so it's human nature to get in these areas. It takes the theological love walk of Romans 14 to be able to get along as brothers and sisters in Christ, to love each other, to realize you're still growing too. They're growing. And to be able to walk in love toward each other. Realize there are differing convictions. I remember Kenneth Hagin said that him and his friends in the ministry, they'd take some of their hot button issues of the day and they would kind of lawyer it. You know, he'd take one side, his minister buddy would take the other side, and they'd argue each other for 30 minutes, and then they'd switch sides and then take the other side, you know, and just to kind of see both sides. I was at North Central Bible College. I had to write a paper on public-private homeschool. Three papers. Paper number one, why everybody needs to send their kids to a public school. Number two, why everybody needs to send their kids to a private school. Number three, why everybody needs to send their kids to be homeschooled. This is a prevalent one today. Why? And make the scriptural case for all three. And to judge everybody who isn't doing it exactly the way you're doing it as missing God and compromising. What am I saying? There are areas of conviction that we've got to deal with and not cross people off the guest list and not fellowship and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They had theirs in their day. We have ours in our day. Okay, it's not meat offered to idols, but we still got them. We still got stuff. And we still need to be big enough today to be able to walk in love, show grace, mercy, respect for people. And again, open, I love that. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see everything the way you do. Praise God. So those are examples of convictions. Just the two areas, that, you know, a couple areas that I want to look at is regarding convictions. These are some things that we need to do, and we're really just going to be walking through Romans 14. But kind of the next area of convictions is I want to look at determine your own convictions. All right? One of the things that you do as a believer, one of the things that should be involved in your prayer closet with the Lord Jesus Christ is you determining your own convictions. Where you're talking with Jesus. You're talking with the Lord. You're talking with Him, Father God, in the name of Jesus, show me what you want me to do. Show me if there's an area in my life. I like that psalmist said, Lord, you know, search my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me. That candidness and honesty with God. Say, Lord, if there are areas in my life that I need to cut off, if there are areas that I need to make some changes, show me what they are. So determine your own convictions, know your own convictions, and again, just walking through Romans 14. What's important in all this is that if you keep a holy day, keep it for God's sake. If you eat meat, eat it to the glory of God and thank God for prime rib. If you're a vegetarian, eat the vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for broccoli. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God that we are answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. So what is this area of Romans really saying? He said, know why you believe what you believe and you do it to the glory of God. If somebody else has a different application, they're criticizing you, blah, 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 you just make sure you know why you determine your own convictions. Be able to say, you know what? This is the principle of the Word of God that I'm standing on. And again, when you understand convictions in the proper light, it's a real freeing thing. I could look at Psalm 1:1, and I could say, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And God could be saying, you know, for me, Ed, yes, there's going to be a season. You're going to turn that TV off. You're going to, cut something out of your life, you know, because you need to be be more focused on me. I can do that. I can receive it without making it law for everybody else. I can say, okay, Lord, praise God. Here we go. It's an area of conviction. You know, it's one of those areas that I'm just going to do for the Lord's sake, you know. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It is God we're answerable to. In other words, it's not just I think. It's like, God, what do you want me to do? And when God shows you that application in your life, that area of conviction, praise God, that's what you're going to do. I remember when my brother Will received Christ, he got saved. It was really interesting to me that one of the first things that he did was he laid down his guitar. And I thought, man, the guitar, Will and guitars, it's like they're linked. I mean, that's what he does. He's a guitar player, guitar head. He just loves the guitar. But when he first got saved, he had to lay down the guitar for a while. And for me, that was a puzzling thing. But it was almost kind of like meat offered to idols kind of a thing. There's such a distinction of that guitar. It used to be his, you know, what it used to be you know, his hiding place. You know, his green pastures is still, it was that guitar. His God in his life. And when he received Christ, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And now instead of picking up his guitar, he'd go to prayer and begin to pray about things. He'd begin to fellowship with God. He began to get more Spirit-focused and praise God. Then the Spirit of God dealt with him. You need to pick up your guitar now. And he began to pick up his guitar and he began to play it for the Lord and minister to God and different things like that along those lines. But it was an interesting thing to me. Nobody told him to lay it down. He laid it down because it was caught. He knew in his life at that moment it could cause offense. It could lead him back. But he got spiritually focused, and then God dealt with him. That's what convictions are. God sometimes will make a conviction for you to lay something down, and then you're sanctified, where your heart is sanctified and God is first place in your life, then you can pick it back up again because it doesn't have that place in your heart. Now he's got the right place in your heart. So different convictions can have differing functional purposes in our life as God deals it. And that's why it's so important to not judge each other in these areas, because we've got one Lord, right? I've said it many times over. I'm your pastor, not your master. I'm here to help cultivate your relationship with God. But that stuff is between you and God. Whatever he shows you, you know. And that's what you want. You want a relationship with the Lord. You want it to be real between you and him. And so as we're looking at convictions, it is very important to realize that you've got to determine your own convictions. I remember too, and this is where determining your own convictions is very important as it relates to sometimes people trying to force their convictions on you. If somebody tries to force a conviction on you, you know, that's what the scripture gets, touch not, taste not, handle not, all those different little things that could have a show of wisdom in neglect of the body, but they're really not convictions in Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost led things that he's showing you to do. You're just going to be jumping through hoops to please them, and you can get off on a tangent. A minister was one time saying about how he just felt the Lord dealing with him about the newspaper. Read the newspaper his whole life. No problem, nothing wrong with reading a newspaper. And, you know, obviously, depending on how much you believe and what who's writing it and different things like that, you got to judge things. But he said, you know, he'd be reading the newspaper every morning from, I don't know if it was like 7 to 8 or whatever, he'd read the newspaper. And he said, you know, I just felt, Lord, I want more of you. I'm hungry for you. I'm for 1 month, I'm going to lay aside that newspaper time from 7 to 8, and I'm just going to have extra time in prayer with you for that 1 month. Praise God. And so he did that. For a month. He said at the end of the month, he said he just never went back to the newspaper. He said, I was getting more out of my prayer time, and he just realized, wow, that newspaper was kind of taken out of me, and this prayer time was putting into me. And he said, wow, and he just, this has been amazing. He said, but now if somebody who had come to him and said, no, you can't read that newspaper and go to this church, he said, I'd go out and buy a newspaper just because you said that. Newspaper has nothing to do with your righteousness or righteousness. These are personal convictions that you're laying aside because of your heart and hunger for the Lord. You want God more. As you're going from glory to glory, you're going to go from conviction to conviction. We had a Bible teacher who said, as you go from glory to glory, those doors get smaller and smaller, and the less of you fits through each one. You know? And it's more him. And you're thinking more like him. And so there will be convictions for a person who's really growing. God will challenge you in some areas to lay aside some things. You know, we were told, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, that's a nice general statement, but how does that apply in real life? There's going to be some specific applications that the Lord will deal with you in ways that will get you spiritually minded all the time. But it'll be a weaning process, and it won't be more than you can bear. It'll just be incremental in ways that are going to get you focused on him. So, praise God. Now, something I got to bring out a little bit. I don't really preach conviction, share convictions. I'll share a conviction or two that we have, you know, the house family that we have, just for sake of example and whatnot. We don't cross over into the R-rated movie line, okay? I don't do that. Is it a sin to cross in the R-rated movie line? No. Am I saying it's a doctrine nobody should? No. It's a conviction. It's just an area that I don't have to go into, you know? I just don't want to have to. You wouldn't want me to preach an R-rated sermon this morning, I don't think. I just don't want to cross over into that. No, there's this great R-rated movie. Yeah, I know there's some great R-rated movies out there. And I usually wait till they come to the TV. I get the edited versions. And, you know, you get kind of the junk out of there, you know. And it's safe. It's a safe guideline for our home, for our family, for our kids. And there's a lot of good reasons I could go into it, but they're just principles of convictions. They're not, you shouldn't either. You can enjoy that. That's great. No problem at all. But I'll say this. As a parent and as a home, my children, while they're in my house, need to respect my convictions. Right? So Caleb came home with an armful of R-rated movies and said, gee, Dad, I'm glad that works for you. You know? When you grow up in Christ a little bit more and get secure in your relationship with God and are a stronger brother, you'll be able to watch the R-rated movies too. I'll have to say, well, no. But I just say, you know, it's a matter where we teach our children our convictions. We train them, you know, in some of these areas in our convictions. And ultimately, I mean, it's also important as children get older to give them decision-making opportunities themselves and to cultivate their own convictions. Because once they're leaving the house, they're not living on your convictions ultimately. You train them in the way they should go, but they need to learn to determine their convictions even now too. You need to teach them yours. And again, when I say teach them ours, we need to know what we believe, why we believe in the Word of God too, don't we? To teach our children our convictions. We need to be able to say, hey, there's some real strong scriptural principles here that'll protect you. This is why we don't do this. This is why we don't engage in that. Because there's just some good protection there that we see in the Word of God that'll really help you and be a blessing to you. You know, kind of the paradigm that the world makes fun of is the old Archie Bunker syndrome. You know, where you got Meathead and Archie arguing. And Meathead, what is his name? I forgot what his real name is. I just think of Meathead. But, you know, Meathead will challenge one of Archie's values, and he'll say, gee, Archie, why is it that way? And Archie will just say, because we've always done it this way. And so you got this ugly religious paradigm, da-da-da-da-da. Well, we do teach our children our principles, but we turn to the Scriptures. And we say, you know, it says, when you delight yourself in the law of the Lord, you're going to be like a tree planted. You know, the Scripture is very clear. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 4, this is the will of God, your sanctification. You know, that you should abstain from fornication. That you should know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God. You know, just be morally loose is the baseline for the Gentiles. But for us who are Christians, we learn how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. And there are certain lines that if you cross, it's going to be harder to possess that vessel. So it's good. Now, am I preaching law? No, I'm just saying, hey, these are some good guidelines to help you possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And these are some things that can really help you and be a blessing. But turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. I've had to turn to these scriptures with my kids, and I have, and I've walked through some principles from Scripture. And this is why we have the convictions that we have, you know? It's important to know. What are we talking about? Determining your own convictions and realizing that as parents, we need to teach our convictions to our children. And as they get older, give them opportunities to establish their own convictions and make decisions and grow. It's a spirit-led Holy Ghost thing as a parent when you get into those areas. It's those things where you're just looking to God for help. Lord, just show me how to navigate this. By the power of the Spirit. Let me just say this too to parents out there. Just because your kids make a wrong decision doesn't mean that it's your fault. Do you know that? There are times you have sinned because you wanted to sin. You've missed it because you've made bad choices. You just got rebellious before God, and it wasn't your teacher's or your parents' fault. You just missed it. You've done that. I've done that. Your kids can do that too. So it's very important to realize you're going to do your best. You're going to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You're going to be praying for them. But praise God, when it comes to convictions, determine your own. Know why you believe what you believe. Impart that to your kids so they can know why we believe what we believe. And it's not because we just always done it that way. It's because there are scriptural principles that support these areas of conviction. So, guideline number one there was to determine your own convictions. And the next guideline that's also very important in the area of convictions is to allow others to determine their convictions. Isn't it nice to have the freedom to determine your own convictions? Praise God. We need that freedom for ourselves, and we need to give that freedom to other people too. We want that space, but we also need to give that space. We'll talk a little bit more about what we mean. We're just plodding through Romans again. Romans are continuing on 14:10. So, where does that leave you when you criticize a brother? And where does that leave you when you condescend to a sister? I'd say it leaves you looking pretty silly, or worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side in the place of judgment facing God. This is the judgment seat of Christ, not for salvation, but the judgment seat of Christ for rewards. Your critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve your position there one bit. You know, there are people that will have a religious spirit that will control and beat down people for generations. At the throne of grace, there is no intimidation of any religious spirit. It's going back to the Word of God. Doesn't matter how strong or deep your generational things go. God is true. And God isn't intimidated by anything. And God is trying to tell you, don't you be intimidated either. You can be free. He's saying here, your critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve your position there one bit. Read it for yourselves in the Scripture. As I live and breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will tell the honest truth that I and only I am God. So, tend to your knitting. You've got a lot. You've got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can contaminate it. If you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, you're no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons for whom Christ died. Don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion of soul poisoning.
Just very, very powerfully well-written paraphrase in capturing the heart of the Apostle Paul. I love that. You know, the Bible just says, you know, back in Romans 14:4, it said, to his own master he's going to stand or fall. It is great to have freedom to determine our own convictions, but we also need to be big enough to let people have the freedom to determine their own convictions. Now, you might just kind of think, you know, on the surface, of course, you know, why wouldn't I just automatically have freedom to give somebody else the space to determine their own convictions? Because sometimes they're going to have a conviction that is different than your conviction. You might see public-private homeschool differently. And you can be equally passionate. Does it have to come between your fellowship? Are you both believers? Do you both serve Christ? Absolutely. You could be, you know, it could be any of those things that we looked at or other things. Obviously, that was an exhaustive list. But you got to realize that there are going to be things. And here might be the deal. It might be, whether it's an older believer or a younger believer, whatever the case might be, somebody might allow themselves to do certain things that your convictions don't allow you to do. Or your convictions allow you to do some things that other people wouldn't dare do. And again, the tendency is, oh, well, I need to free them up. Okay? Or I need to rein them in. My convictions really represent Jesus' convictions. We can kind of get that sense. And it's the equilibrium that we're trying to really just wait till the church to catch up to me. And there is a sense that you can have in yourself that you got to be careful. The passion behind your conviction is there for a reason. It's there for you. It's there for you to stay true to that conviction, not to rebuke your brother. Okay? So just because an alarm goes off when somebody says or does something that's not exactly the way you would do it, that is not a signal that you got to get after them. It's a reminder of what God has spoken to you and to your heart. You know, Jesus at one point, when he was talking to his disciples, it was pretty interesting. He said, this was John 16:12, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. In other words, there were things, here's his, if Jesus' disciples were right here, there were things that Jesus knew that he couldn't say because the Father didn't permit him to say those right now. That's a theological love walk.
You don't just unload everything you know. He said, there's things I want to say, but you can't bear them now. In other words, he isn't just talking from his head. He's talking from his heart. He's saying, Father, I know. What can they bear? What can I share? What can I do? He would speak from his heart. It's not again. The conviction will go off in your head, but then you got to pray, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to say? These are important distinctions. So I'm not just unloading my convictions. So, you know, if somebody was to, you know, tell me about this great R-rated movie they saw, and man, God spoke to him and gave him an amazing analogy. Okay, I can think, R-rated movie, okay, I don't go to, you know, that's not what I say. R-rated? Did you say R-rated movie? Oh, I don't go out to R-rated movies. I can't believe you go to R-rated movies. No. What I got to give brothers room to work out their own convictions. It's not wrong for them to go to an R-rated movie. God didn't tell me to tell them not to go to. God told me not to. God told me that's an area to not cross, to help me, all right? But this is an important where I'm developing. So when you hear an alarm, somebody might come in conflict with your convictions. Praise God. That's where we're saying, praise God. What did the Lord show you? Awesome. Yeah, that's good. I can even find that in the Word. You know, build people up, edify them, encourage them. You know what I'm saying? Even if there's a conflict, meat offered idols? Nah, are you a meat offered idols kind of a guy or a meat not offered idols? You don't have to segment. You don't have to click. Just rally around the Word of God, Christ. These are areas of convictions. Give people room to cultivate their own areas of conviction. And I'm going to just, you know, just say that it is important that we have that freedom. That is really the freedom, you know, of love, the theological love walk, to where we can do that and we can walk into that. And then finally, I just want to say that the point that he makes here is to exercise your freedoms with love. All right? Exercise your freedoms with love. And we're just going to finish out the chapter here. It says, God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other, help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. You're certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served or not served at supper to wreck God's work among you, are you? As I said it before, and I'll say it again, all food is good, but it can turn bad if you use it badly. If you use it to trip others up and send them sprawling. When you sit down to a meal, your primary concern should not be to feed your own face, but to share the life of Jesus. So be sensitive and courteous to the others who are eating. Don't eat or say or do things that might interfere with the free exchange of love. Cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. You're fortunate if your behavior and your belief are coherent. But if you're not sure, if you notice that you're acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinions on others, other days just trying to please them, then know you're out of line. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it is wrong. In other words, what's not of faith is sin, if you're not consistent. And so, the final point just being here, exercise your freedom with love. So the Apostle Paul is basically saying here, look, you know, if you know your brother is really struggling with meat offered to idols, you know, whatever that situation might be, don't eat meat offered to idols while they're there. Don't exercise your freedom in the face of unknown weakness. Now, it could happen accidentally. You might not know. And some things can happen. But if you know that somebody has an area that for them is a conviction, don't do things like that. Let's say somebody struggled with alcohol, and you know God just got to cut that off. I can't play with that. I got to cut it off. Well, you know, it would probably be good to not, if you're going out to lunch or dinner or whatever the case might be, you know, just for that meal to not have alcohol, just to help them to not be a stumbling block. What if that's love? All right? So why should I be judged? Why should, you know, that's what the scripture says. Why should we judge of another person? Well, it's not a matter of you being judged. It doesn't have to change your convictions. It just means that when you're around people, honor their convictions as much as you can. That's just love. Again, natural man doesn't write chapters like this. This is a God chapter. This is right up there next to creation, Romans 14. I'll tell you what. This is the God who we serve. He understands we're family. He understands we're born again. But he also understands that we're born spiritual babes and we grow up spiritually and we're in a family of a bunch of siblings. And he puts a chapter here of love to help us realize and know that we got to walk in love toward each other, praise God, and grow up spiritually in these areas. So, convictions. We looked at some conviction examples, kind of in our day, different areas. Also, determining your own convictions. What do we got to do? We've got to, on purpose, know why we believe what we believe from the Word of God. You know, you might find yourself, when you're in that process of determining your own convictions, you might find, why am I doing this? You know, do I believe this? Is this really an area that I believe? You know, you find out in the Scripture. When you begin to find out, yeah, this is the basis. This is the scriptural principle that I'm holding on to. Praise God. You're determining your own convictions. And also allow others to determine their own convictions. That's giving people the freedom to grow up spiritually. You know, you might, again, you might be, I use the analogy of Abby and Whitney. You know, you might be Whitney. You might be the 20-year-old, spiritually as it were, you know, looking at the 3-year-old Abby, and you're appalled that they don't have all your same convictions. Well, the fact is, when you were 3 years old, you know, you weren't where you are now either. And so we've got to give people room to grow and to develop. It's not all about people lining up with my convictions. You know, I don't have, Ed House doesn't have the list, you know, God's list. And if you bump into people who think they have God's list, hey, just still walk in love, but you're no condemnation. You just keep walking in love and you know why you believe what you believe. And if you got to have this diet, because if you don't do this diet, then you're a bad steward of your body and you're a bad steward of your body and you're you know, it can be a nasty little trail. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Oh, and it can get you chasing your tail. And all of a sudden you find yourself eating and doing certain things to keep people happy. It has nothing to do with it. No, don't get right. You are free. You are free. You are free to determine your own convictions. And let's say somebody is, doesn't mean you have to jump on people that have their own convictions about different, could be dietary things, whatever. Man, give people room to grow. If that's going to help, is do it unto the Lord. If that's a stewardship, do it unto the Lord. Praise God. Awesome. Wonderful. But we're not trying to get everybody to line up, as it were, to our conviction list. And then finally, exercise your freedoms with love. That's a huge thing. You got freedoms in areas. You see a brother who's weak in that area. Do your best to honor their convictions. Love. Now, I'm not talking about being patronizing, okay? Oh, I remember when I used to have that problem, too. No. I'm talking about being sweet and gracious and respectful. Like I said, I could take any position, and I can find, I could argue with passion like a lawyer in any public-private homeschool, and I can make a case. You can make a case. You can see the value behind people's convictions and areas and things. That's what you need to do. You need to affirm and help and bless and help them in their walk with God, right? Not be trying to nitpick and tear people down and bring them to your side. You know, what we're doing is we're listening. Yeah, there could be times when God will use you. What does the Bible say? If you see a brother overtaken, you who are spiritual, go to such one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. If God does use you in an area of correction, it's going to be meek and kind and gentle and sweet. And speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. It wasn't that Jesus didn't speak anything from his head. He spoke from his heart what he had permission to speak. And that's what we learn as we walk in love. What do we have permission, Lord, to share and to minister in this area? Because you can. And God can use you to help things. But it's coming from God, not a nervous response to a conviction. But it's coming from the heart. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that there is a theological love walk, that we can walk in love toward each other, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we can give each other room to grow up spiritually. Father, that we can understand that there are and will be convictions in our lives, ways that we specifically apply principles of your word as we grow up spiritually. That we have convictions that will and should change as we are pruned to bear more fruit. Lord, we understand that. I pray, Father, that you will begin to show each of us here this morning, Lord. Those different areas of conviction that are Spirit-led applications of your word. I pray, Lord, that each one of us will begin to determine and even take inventory of our convictions. What are they and why do we have them? Do we have them because it was always done this way, or is there a basis in the Word of God? If it's wrong, I pray we just be set free from religious bondages and really know why we believe what we believe and see areas of convictions, lines that we've drawn, that we've got the Scripture for those lines, and that we can really be confident in our heart that we are doing truly what we're doing is unto you because of what your Word says, Father. And I also pray that you'll help us, Lord, in helping people, giving people room and space to determine their own convictions. I pray, Father, that as people and brothers and sisters in Christ might say, do things that don't exactly line up, that we have grace and peace and mercy, Lord, and that we don't just speak from our head, from what we know, but that we speak, Father, from our heart, what people can bear, what you are showing us to say, that speaking the truth in love, we may grow up, every joint having a supply and the increasing of the body in love, Father. I pray that over Door of Life Christian Church, I thank you that we've had it. I pray, Lord, that it just continues to be strong in the air of this church. Freedom to grow up spiritually, freedom to walk in the Spirit, and freedom to determine our own convictions. And I pray too, Lord, that each one of us, exercise our freedom with that love, being mindful, being aware of our brother and sister in Christ, that we're gracious, that we're kind, that we don't ever intentionally try to wound their conscience, Lord, by exploiting our freedoms, but that we would walk in love and harmony, Father, and help them as they're growing up in you, as they help us as we're growing up in you. Go ahead and make this your declaration if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for convictions, Spirit-inspired applications of the principles of your word. You show me in real life what it means to set my mind on things above and not on things on the earth. What does that mean to me? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me. I will determine my own convictions based on the Word of God. I will give my brother and sister room to determine their own convictions. And I will walk in love toward their convictions, knowing they have those convictions to serve you. Lord Jesus, today's my day. The day I call upon your name. I believe in my heart you died on the cross for my sins. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.